Well, as you've seen this week, we've shown you that we took on a secret mission, finding out about a man called Jesus. What did he do? And why did he do it? And what we discovered and what is revealed in every part of the Bible is that Jesus took on what is seemingly a mission impossible. That mission impossible was to give us the opportunity to have a relationship with God. You know, it doesn't matter how hard we try to do this ourselves, we just can't succeed. Some people try by doing good things. Some people believe we can reach God through meditation. But no way that we come up with is going to work. You see, the Bible tells us that God created us to have a relationship with Him. However, we've ignored God. We've chosen to do things our own way. We've ignored the instructions God gave us. We've ignored the manual for life that He provided us with. That's this Bible. All these things that we do our way, the things that God doesn't want us to do, they're what the Bible calls sin. And we heard earlier, didn't we, what Jesus had to say about sin. He said that the Son of Man, which is just a biblical title for Jesus, has authority on earth to forgive sins. So, in other words, Jesus has authority to forgive our sins, yours and mine. And Jesus proved this when he healed the paralyzed man. When the man came to Jesus, he wasn't only physically sick, that he couldn't move his arms and his legs. He was also spiritually sick. He was a sinner. There were things which he had done which God didn't want him to do. When he left Jesus, he wasn't only physically healed, he was also spiritually healed. Jesus had said, pick up your bed and walk. And he had also said, your sins have been forgiven. So what Jesus did was to open a way for us to have a relationship with God. But why did he do it? Well, what was the reason behind his mission? Our second memory verse explained that, didn't it? For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believed on him should not perish but have eternal life. Jesus came because God loves us so much. He doesn't want us to go our own way and to perish, which means to end up totally separated from God. And he doesn't want that because that is an awful thing, an awful place to be. He wants us to have a relationship with him, and he wants us eventually to live with him permanently. In order for that to happen, someone had to deal with all the things that get in the way between us and God, all that sin that we were talking about. So Jesus' mission was to deal with everything that keeps us from reaching God, to deal with sin, and he did it because of his awesome love for us. For anybody else, dealing with sin was and still is mission impossible. But for Jesus Christ, it was and is possible. And I'm very glad that he chose to accept that mission, and I'm very glad that he completed it successfully. It's because he was successful that all the holiday team and I can say with Jesus those words, we will not perish, but have eternal life. But let's look for a minute at one of the written records of the outcome of that mission. If you have a Bible, it's recorded in Matthew and chapter 28, which is rather handily in the Pew Bibles on page 1000. 1000. Not the hymn books, guys, the Bibles, okay? This is a written record of what happened to Jesus and what happened just afterwards. So reading Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now, I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him and clasped his feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on the way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this day. And Jesus meets finally with his disciples. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." That is an accurate account of what happened. And you know, some people find it very difficult to believe these amazing things that are written. The amazing things that are written about the life of Jesus too. For some people, that's a reason not to accept God's offer of eternal life. But there really isn't any reason to doubt the Bible. A number of people have spent a great deal of time examining the evidence. Some key legal minds have tried it and have come to the conclusion that no sane person can doubt the fact of the resurrection. As we have seen this week, Jesus was really dead, and he did come back to life again. His body wasn't stolen. He didn't just swoon on the cross and recover later. These are facts. I don't know if you've seen the film Mission Impossible. Yeah? Good film, isn't it? Yeah. Well, do you remember that point where Ethan Hunt, our lead character, suddenly has to readjust his thinking about everything? He has just realized that his boss, who he thought was dead, is alive. And you have that flashback scene where he thinks and he goes through everything that happened and he changes the way he thinks. Everything to do with the case that he is working on changes. Everything to do with the future and what he is going to do changes. It is just like that for us. Our mission, should we choose to accept it, is to allow the fact of Jesus' resurrection to adjust our thinking. To adjust the way we think about everything to do with this life and the next. That memory verse we had, Jesus said, "He died for sins in order to lead us to God." His death and resurrection open the way for us to have a relationship with God. We must make the choice whether or not to accept this mission. Think back to that film again, Mission Impossible, or if you're old enough, think back to the original series. At the beginning of each program, at the beginning of the film, we have the tape with the secret message on it. And the tape begins, "Your mission, should you choose to accept it," and you have the secret mission. But it always ends with the same phrase, doesn't it? "This tape will self-destruct in 5 seconds. And that's just time for our spy to light his cigarette, and blow the smoke so nobody's going to realise that the taper's just burnt up. Well, unfortunately, we don't have such a clear message of when our lives will end, do we? I don't know whether I'm going to live till 80 or whether my tape will self-destruct tonight. So it is important for us to respond to the facts of the resurrection, to let them change our thinking and the way we look at life, and to do so now. You know, there's a wonderful promise that goes with accepting what Jesus did. He promised in that passage we read right at the end, he said, "And surely I am with you always to the very end." Jesus is not the spy master who sends us out on a mission to receive a tape halfway there and stays behind in the safety of the office. Jesus is the spy master who's with us every step of the way. Missions are dangerous. In Mission Impossible, they face all sorts of dangers. Well, in life, and being a Christian is equally as dangerous. But there is one difference, one awesome difference. Jesus has promised that he will be with us. He couldn't break that promise even if he wanted to. He will be with us until the end of time. And after the end of time, we have a choice, heaven or hell. If you believe in Jesus, whether you've just become a believer or whether you've been a believer for many years, this one thing is true. At the end of life, we will go to be with Jesus and we will live with him forever in glory. I don't know. What's your view of glory? Some people try and get a little bit of glory or heaven in the summer holiday, don't they? You know, 2 weeks of sun, sand and sangria. Or if it's, mountains, blue sky and nobody else, that might be your view of heaven. But when I go on holiday, it's always a rush the week before to get everything cleared up so as I can go. And when we get back, there's a mountain of washing, there's a pile of post on the doormat, and the inbox on the computer is just stuffed full of messages. I'm not sure that we really find much of heaven in that. The real thing is much better. For starters, there's no coming back to something worse afterwards. Heaven lasts for more than 2 weeks. It goes on forever. And once we're there, there's nothing can take us away. Think about those words we sang earlier. That song, "There's a Place Where the Streets Shine." Sorry, Derek, I didn't ask. Can we put that up? "There's a place where the streets shine" is a reference to what heaven will be like. And the verse, the second verse, "No more pain, no more suffering, no more sadness, no more tears, no more sin, no more sickness, no injustice, no more death. Instead of those things, we have joy everlasting, we have gladness, and we have peace." Jesus has completed the mission that is impossible for you and for me. And instead, he offers us a mission which we can succeed at, and one which has some wonderful promises to go along with it. Jesus promises, however hard the mission gets, we won't be on our own. He promises that at the end of the mission, we will live in glory forever with him. We must think about this mission.